and I failed horribly. I recognize there are far too many of you. And just by the fact of being here this evening, I can feel I'm energized. The average age of our congregation is around 60 years old. I have nothing against older people. I love them to bits. The Lord is changing my heart with regards to leading people. We were involved in youth ministry for about 7 years. Actually, where's Jenna? Jenna, Joel, yeah, they were all with us. And hey, they're in your comm. Awesome. That's awesome. And, just claiming it there. But it really is just so lovely to be here with you. And it pains me to have left my wife. And maybe, have you got that photo of her? I can introduce you quickly. Where will it come up? There. She's definitely the best part of me. And then we've got a little, there we go. Yeah, so that's Stacy and that's Judah. Thank you for praying for him, young man, wherever you were. And then that's a fish, and then that's me. And that's in Langebaan, which is actually their hometown, which is cool. Nice to have you guys with us. That's dedication driving. It's about 2.5 hour drive. So, but yeah, just lovely to be with you guys this evening. And as Henry mentioned, you know, we've had the privilege of actually being here what feels like a month, but it was 3 days. So if my voice is going, it's primarily because we gave it in that last song, which I love. But it was also because we've spoken a lot. And so I just wanted to say thank you for all those that we have actually got the privilege to meet with. It was just so incredible. I was so encouraged by the caliber of leaders, saints. If you're just a part of this house, and we got the privilege of actually spending time with you. So in many ways, you opened up to us, but we were opened up by you. And so I just wanted to say thank you as a congregation. It's beautiful to see, and I think you guys are doing incredibly well. Incredibly well, and I want you to hear that, because I think often there's this kind of stigma attached to guys coming in. They're coming to look out and take notes for the devil. You know, what are they doing wrong? It's not the case. It really isn't. It's actually, really, the heart behind this evening is that as I've spent time seeking the Lord on it, I do feel like there's something that I just want to get behind whatever the Lord is doing in you guys. Really, really, I want to get behind. And I actually, I might get emotional a couple of times, because I am that kind of guy. We're working on that. This evening I pressed him a couple times, like, leave announcements. Hey, can the seats and get guys in front here? And I think, thank you so much for sitting in the aisles. Jeez, I didn't expect that. That's wild. I love it. thanks, guys. I'll see you all the way down there. just getting behind what it is that God's doing in you. And I felt such a responsibility, you know, in terms of prepping for this time. And I really wanted to bring something that not was just a Tupperware preach or something on my heart or something. I really sought. Is there music going on? So wedding bells, lovely. That's beautiful. Okay. But I really didn't want to just prep something long in advance and then come here and preach my best preach and leave you guys with nothing. And it was so cool. Just even today, it's probably the most uncomfortable place you could find yourself at as someone who leads or has to preach. But I felt like God, actually for myself and Dan, as we spent time with the congregations, we felt God actually put something different in us for you guys. And so this might be rough and ready. This might be a little bit raw. Is that okay? Because I sat on the couch this afternoon going like, oh my goodness, God, I'm standing in front of 200 people in like a couple hours' time. But you know what's awesome is that actually if he gets the glory in the end, it's all it's about. Really is all it's about, and I don't mind being a fool for that. I don't mind being a fool for that, and I sense that there's something that just God wants to do that's so much deeper than just the Tupperware preach. I do feel like there's something of an intimacy that he wants to speak about this evening, and I was just considering as we were walking in here, you know, I didn't know that you guys were on the cusp of exams, and I'm just feeling like God going continuously, you know what, we can fill your heads with more stuff. We can give you knowledge. We can give you understanding. We can just feed you with a whole bunch of stuff, and it might be good. But I actually feel like God's after your heart this evening. And so I want to ask you guys from the outset, would you be willing to open your hearts to see what it is that God wants to do? Because I do believe that actually it's going to be so much better than just any sort of head knowledge or info. And so I wanted to ask you a question from the outset this evening. How would you measure a good meeting? And you can shout out if you want. I'm really, as I said, I don't mind people shouting out in meetings. Well, how would you measure a good meeting? The presence of the Lord. Who said that? That's pretty. Did you pray for my son as well? He's probably healed, eh? But lovely. Normally it's like third, fourth try, you know, and you caught me off guard. The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. And something this evening, if I could entitle anything this evening, if I had to give it a title, I really want to draw it back to, are we about attendance or dependence? Attendance or dependence? And I want to bring it back to that place of actually, it's nothing about just the attendance. It's important. But actually, if we go for the root, and that's what I think God's after here this evening, he's going for the heart. He's going for the root of it. If we understand that actually everything stems from a place of dependency on him, of intimacy with him, attendance will never be an issue. We'll never have to build the church because God builds his church. And if we don't do it with him, we labor in vain. And we've got to come back to this place of actually it's out of dependency on him. And I want to start with the scripture. It's 2 Chronicles. We're going Old Testament, 7:1-3, and I'm reading from the NIV. You can read with me if it's on the screen. There we go. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good. His love endures forever. He is good. His love endures forever. And I just want to imagine, you know, we've had just a call to prayer, and it was so encouraging actually seeing so many of you gather outside and pray beforehand. Now, I want you to imagine just that group of people, and even those, anyone who rocked up this afternoon. Imagine the presence of the Lord was so thick in this room that we couldn't get in. Just imagine it for a moment. Just imagine it was that thick that you actually could not get in the front doors. And the result of that was actually that we were on our knees outside with our faces on the temple. I mean, on the pavement. Just imagine that for a second. Do you think of church like that? Do you think of church like that? You know, Scripture tells us that actually as we come to him, the living stone, chosen and precious in the sight of the Lord, that we too, like living stones, are being built together into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer sacrifices pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. It's actually as we come together. And the Bible often refers to us as a building and a living stone, an army and a soldier. And actually, we're a part of this thing together. We're a part of this thing together. And I almost just want to, I feel like God wants to just remind us the wonder of his church, the wonder of his body, the wonder of what he's building here among us, that it's far past just attendance and comm group meetings and Sundays, and we have this little time slot that we give to God, and then we go on with our daily lives. It's like we check in and we check out. And I feel like he wants to, as students, he wants us to take root. Because I feel like we could preach into the zeal of God, and it's incredible. But I think you guys have that. We could preach into, you know, boldness, being bold and courageous. And I think, yeah, there's an element that you've got. But what I'm not certain of is that actually when you're thrust out into the world, and hear what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying, okay? I'm not saying I'm old and I've got that and you don't, okay? But when the tough times come, when the storms come, will you have enough? Will you be rooted enough in God? Out of a place of dependency, out of a place of intimacy with him, that actually the wind can blow. It can blow. The storms can come, but you've got enough to be able to remain rooted in God. Is this making sense? So how do we measure a good meeting? Is God with us? Is God pleased to dwell here? Is his presence here? And I think sometimes there's an element of like, yeah, his presence is here, but we even miss the person in the presence. And that's a scary thing. It's like we can jump around here. We can go, oh my goodness, the chaos in this place is so hectic. I love it, Lord. You know, I could have worshipped for I don't know how long. But there really is just a sense of we need to come back to the place of it goes far deeper than that. It goes far deeper than that. That we have a Father that is desiring relationship with us. That this reflection of our worship at times will be the up and down, but other times it's going to be outside. On the pavement, with our faces on the ground, because the presence was so thick in the room, we could not get in. And I came out of this place recently, and I shared it with some of our leaders in Asbontown, and I actually think that the Lord might have even brought me to this place. But where I felt dry. And I spoke to some of you guys this week, and there was a sense of, man, there's just so much going on. There's studies, there's 100 things happening in my life. There's family, and I'm not with them, and I've got friends, and I'm going through this, and there's this in the church, and I just want to say that there's always going to be things. There's always going to be stuff. And I felt God just put his finger on my heart recently and just go, you're dry. You're dry. And you know what? It got worse before it got better. It got to the place that I actually cried out. It was almost a spiritual frustration in me, because I was like, God, I'm supposed to be leading one of your churches, and I feel dry. I feel like I've got nothing to give. And I honestly just want to say that's probably why I can share this message with you today, because I feel like it's a battle I might have won recently, because I was dry. And how often, I mean, just with a raise of hands, how many have you felt like that? Okay, cool. So I'm not the only one. I'm just checking. I'm seeing eyes. I saw it. I want to say Sarah, what she saw earlier, it's just eyes. I think sometimes the spiritual frustration is not actually a bad thing, because it brings us to a place where we hunger and we thirst. We hunger and we thirst. And again, just a show of hands, is anyone who's actually hungry and thirsty for the things of God? Is there? Because I think that's probably the primary reason as to why we're here. Am I right? Okay. I don't want to be a part of a church that doesn't have the presence of the Lord in. I don't want to be a part of that. I have no interest in being a part of that. And we need to come back to the place that unless he's here with us, are we really even the people of God? We become a dwelling place for God to live by His Spirit. And it starts in actually each one of you. And that beautiful word that actually Henry brought just beforehand, that's actually the river of God. It flows from the temple. Another thing, the dwelling place, the temple. It flows from God, but it flows into us and through us. And we become a conduit for the kingdom. It's a beautiful thing. It really is a beautiful thing. And out of this frustration, one of the things that the Lord took me through, this is a part testimony, but I hope it's encouraging to you, is that actually there was this moment where I realized we're actually under a better covenant. So we don't even have to actually bring our pure and spotless lamb, bring it to the altar, get sacrificed. It costs us a whole bunch. We literally have direct access to the Father through Jesus, for those who believe. It's a better covenant. It's incredible, and we can't actually downplay that, you know. I want to read Ephesians 2:13-22. I haven't given it to you. I'm so sorry. But there is three incredibly profound things in there, and I want to encourage you, go read it in your time with the Lord. Go and read this, because it sums up three beautiful and profound moments. It says, but now, through Jesus, we who were far off have now been brought close by the blood of His Son. Consider that for a moment. We who are now far off have now been brought close by the blood of His Son. And what it's speaking about is actually Jew and Gentile. We're Jew and Gentile, and at that time it was actually Jesus coming and bringing down the wall of hostility between them and bringing out of two, making one man for Himself, for all mankind. And He was bringing unity. And now, through that, it says, through Him, we both have access to the Father through the Spirit. And in Him, we are being built together to become a dwelling place for God to live by His Spirit. We're being built together to become a dwelling place for God to live by His Spirit. And I love how it says, and it's in Him. But God is living in us. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. And I think there's somewhat of an understanding that we need to, and maybe the understanding is more heart-related than head-related. This needs to just drop from here to here in our reference when we come to church. Because I can tell you right now, no one will have to tell you to come. We won't be even speaking about devotion because devotion wells up within. Devotion to prayer. Devotion to fellowship. Devotion to the apostolic teaching. Devotion to breaking of the bread. These things we won't have to be told to do because it'll be like the wellspring of life that bursts within us. But it will only come from a place of dependency on Him and intimacy with Him. Are we making church about attendance and the things of God and we're missing God Himself? And I don't want this to be a heavy. I actually just want to just bring a little bit of clarity to, you know, why we meet. Because I think if we lose the why, we're in danger. I know for myself, if I lose the why, I'm in danger. I don't want to be up here anymore. Okay, I want to be a part of a church that's thriving. I want to be a part of a church that's worship looks like yours, that actually requires action. And I think that's what the growth, sometimes we think numerical. I think Stellenbosch 6 p.m., we might see numerical growth still, which, man, if God wants to do it, I'm all for it. And I know everyone's all for it. And you've got an incredible leader and leaders to lead you through that. But I think God's far more concerned about the depth, the roots going down, far more concerned about the depth. And so it's actually in our coming together, it's in Him, that we begin to reflect something of the nature of God. And when we reflect something of the nature of Jesus, it's like the Father looks upon that and says, I can give myself to that. I want to be where my Son is. I think it's Colossians 1:19 where it speaks about the fullness of the Father. Because sometimes I think we segregate it. We segregate, you know, well, the Father was the one that stayed in heaven and then the Son was sent down because He got, you know, He was the ultimate sacrifice. And we downplay this, but actually it says in Colossians 1:19, it says that the fullness of the Father was pleased to dwell within the Son. Do we often think like that? Like it's actually, yeah, okay, Jesus died on the cross for us, but there's an element of the Father that was pleased to dwell with the Son. I think we sometimes separate the two, and then where was the Holy Spirit? Oh, no, He was still hovering over the face. No. No, He was there since the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. But now He is. He was, but now He is. And He is to come. And that's the day that we're aiming for. And that's why it's so important that we remain rooted, we remain established, we remain dependent. And we remain in a place of intimacy with Him. Because without it, the storms are going to come. And I'm not a doomsday preppist, okay, but I don't know if it's going to get easier, okay? I didn't even finish school, vulnerable moment, okay? So in many ways, I'm speaking to the converted here. Like, seriously, guys, you could tell me, I'm sure the guys could draw up spreadsheets and there's the stuff that I would never be able to do. But I can tell you right now, for the trajectory that I see the world on, I'm not 100% sure we're going in the right direction. And so jokes aside, I think there's something that even in this generation, and it's not a new thing, even in this generation, there's something of a standard that the Lord wants to raise up. But it's not going to be the typical hoorah, we're living out our campus days. It's going to be something of, no, when the storms come, we're able to withstand whatever it is because we've had it built into us. That's the standard that He's looking for. That's what's gonna save us on that last day. And so when the disciples looked at the Father, you know, when they looked at Jesus, they said, you know, show us the Father. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I want to ask you, Stellenbosch 6 p.m., when the world looks at you, do they see Jesus? When they look at us, do they see Jesus? And I'm not making it just 6 p.m. I'm going Azeventein. I'm going every other church within our field. Do they see Jesus? Because that's all that matters at the end of the day. Not whether we look pretty. You're probably one of the best looking congregations, honestly. Seriously. It's like everything in me goes, Lord, won't you protect my heart? This is one of the storms that might come now, is going back and going, oh my goodness, Lord. How I would, that's why I brought Michal and Callista with me. It's just like some youngsters, you know. But really, it's a beautiful looking congregation. And I wonder what God could do with guys like you who were fully devoted to him. That actually you had no hooks in the world. And I'm not saying that you're here and you're studying for nothing. No, that's really not what I'm saying. I'm going, if the Lord's called you here, then study well. Then study well. Put your hand to it. Do as though you're doing unto the Lord. But keep the hooks of the world out of you. Keep the hooks of the world out of you. It's only going to keep you in the same place. It's only going to keep you longing after the things of the world. Longing after the things of the flesh. And we need a standard, a generation that is living up to the standard that Jesus is looking for. And you don't need to wait until you're older to do that. You don't need to waste your life. And so, are we working out of a place of dependence in him? Are we dependent on him? And I think sometimes we relate dependent on, you know, are we dependent on him for life? Yeah, eternal life, you know, that's why I know Jesus, because one day, what about now? And I felt like I wanted to challenge you guys on this. What about now? What about now? You have an incredible opportunity, actually at this stage of life, to shine Jesus to a generation that I was sitting yesterday in meetings when we were, it was actually at Henry and Brigitte's house last night, and I'm sitting there and I'm prepping a different preach. And there were like 3 parties happening down the road. And to be honest, Henry asked me on the way here, do you know anything of Stellenbosch? Yeah, I know things of Stellenbosch. I know it at nighttime. And I know it late in the morning, because that's all I ever saw of Stellenbosch. I wasted 10 years of my life in and out of trance parties, in and out of 10 years. And I look back and I go, God, what did I miss? What did I miss? And by the grace of God, he's brought me to a place where I know and love him. And slowly but surely, he's rooting me in him. But I think there's something of the world that needs to be worked out of us, and we need to have this worked into us. That this is an opportunity where you have the time, not all the time in the world, but you have some time, and that you can give of yourself to the things of God, and you can run faster than when you have a wife and kids, and where you don't have to mess up in every given way, but that you can live a fully devoted life to Jesus. And the hardest thing about being a leader sometimes is that we cannot want it more than you. We cannot want it more. You've got to want it. And that's where the intimacy comes from, because we know that actually out of a place of relationship, when you see God for who he really is, when we behold him, like we were singing, when we behold him, we are changed from one glory to another. We become like him. Is this making sense? Psalm 63, 1-4. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I've seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. How I praise you as long as I live. Lifting up my hands to you in prayer. And I think there was just such a beautiful moment just in even worship. I don't know if you guys feel it, but there was just this moment where the voices began to sing. And it was like, you can't but actually just throw your hands up. And that's stemming from a place of having seen God. God, how can I live any other way? Lord, there has to come a point where actually I fling my hands up. There's an acting out of my worship. And I think one of the things that we're going to do a little bit later is we're going to partake in communion, the breaking of bread, recognizing him for his body and for his blood. Because it's one of the greatest acts of worship we could ever perform. This isn't just like we remember you, Lord. It's actually an act of worship. It's an act of worship, and I'll touch more on that just now. And the issue is that sometimes in our independence, and I speak for myself here, in our independence, we start to mess things up. We really do. And I could find 100 accounts in the Bible. I didn't have time. And so one of the things I want to show you, though, is I can use my son as a description, okay, or an analogy or an illustration. My son recently, he has he's just started eating, but not from a bottle. He started using a spoon. Actually, have you got that photo? I did send you a photo. Yes. He started eating from a spoon. That was... Okay. And it's actually such a beautiful picture because, you know, I think in his little independent streak, which I know where it comes from, it's actually sinful nature. I think it might even be stemming from Eve and Adam days, from where Eve thought it was a good idea, you know. And this is the same issue he's going through at the moment. His mom and dad come close and we're like, it's just going to get messy. Like, we just want to help you with this. We don't have time. We don't have... And my wife is very gracious and she goes, no. Like, we've got a lime to do this. We've got a lime. And like, I'm a neat freak, so everything starts to like tweak in my brain. And we allowed himself to feed, and we're doing this more and more. But the problem is, in this dependency, there's a real risk that we run that he is actually going to get to the point where it's just going to be a mess. And how often is it like that in our lives? You know, it's like this dependency streak. We try and do things even without the Lord. We try and do it on our own strength. We try and take, you know, instead of putting it on the, when the consecrated men stopped carrying the Ark of the Covenant rightly, it's when things went wrong. Let's just put it on the ox cart. It's easier. It's just easier like that. You know, it came to us on ox cart and go on ox cart. Why can we? Well, God didn't see. I don't think he was very gracious towards Uzzah, who puts out his hand and stops the ark from falling and wipes him dead. It's a prescribed way. We have to work from a place of intimacy. As soon as we start doing it on our own is when we start to mess things up. It's when we start to mess things up. And a quick example of this, so it's one of the things, actually, I just want to say this, is one of the things we will never outgrow. It won't be a 6 p.m. Stellenbosch thing where we have to, you know, we don't need this now, but eventually there's going to be a stage. No, work this into us now. Let's work this into us now. Actually, the person sitting next to you, it's almost like you just look to them, to the left and to the right. It's like, are you in a relationship with Jesus? Is there a dependency? Shouldn't have done that in a student congregation. Here we go. Okay. You see, you're messing it up already. But there is a real sense that actually we need to be those who would look to our left and right and to be able to go, are you living in a place of intimacy with the Father? Are you dependent on Him? Or are you doing this in your own strength? Is that same Adamic nature still there that needs to be worked out of you? We need to be those who are working from dependency. And so a quick example of this, for although they, this is Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, okay, emphasis on knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, darkened in their foolish hearts. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images of mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. And that's from a place of not coming back to the place of actually intimacy with him. It's from a place of, God, we know you, but we see a better way. And quickly, we see the same thing played out in the book of Judges and Joshua, if you go read through that. Joshua dies and he says, look, I'm giving you, before I die, I'm giving you these parts of the land. You can go and inherit them. They're yours. Go for it. But all that I ask, do not cling to the remnant of those nations. Do not enter into marriage with them. And he starts with this. He says, take care. That's how he starts it. Take care to love the Lord with all your heart. That's his warning before he says anything. Before they enter, take care to love the Lord your God. When we lose our love for God out of a place of not being in relationship with Him or not being dependent on Him, we get given to other things. Actually, it says within Joshua's context here, it says that actually the Lord gave them over. to their own desires. The Lord gave them over to their own desires. It says, after all those people had part, I haven't got any of these scriptures, sorry. It says, after all those people had actually died and they'd gone to be, they were laid with their fathers. A generation grew up after them who neither knew God or what he had done for Israel. And he gave them over to their sinful desires. Guys, we sometimes just go like, well, you know, church is attendance. Guys, it's a place of dependency on him. We need one another. We need to be with one another. We need to be built together so that we can host the presence of God. We need to be built together so that it's a place for him to come and dwell. How do we measure a meeting? Whether he's pleased to dwell with us. Whether he's pleased to dwell with us. And, you know, the moment that we give anything else attention, instead of the one who gives himself all, the one who gives us all his attention, is when things start to flip. That's when things start to flip. And so we need to stop feeding ourselves. We need to stop being independent. It gets messy. Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And the other day, we were actually at a leader's time, and it was one of the most beautiful things, you know. We're mid-worship. I think Henry was actually there. We're mid-worship, and one of the guys actually picks up an instrument. And he starts playing his, what's that, saxophone. In the middle of worship, and you think like saxophone in the middle of worship. I can tell you right now, it was something of the sound, it mimicked something of the sound of heaven. It was like in a moment, there was something. It felt like you're standing there, we were there for a leaders meeting. It was like scrap the leaders meeting. We're not moving. We're not going anywhere from here. It mimicked something of the sound of heaven that actually had us standing there and eventually kneeling there and eventually some on their faces. And you know what it felt like? It felt like a call home. It felt like for a moment, just for a moment, there was a call home. And we're living for that call. And we're living for the here and now. Because this will pass away. That is eternal. Are we listening for that sound? Do our hearts still cry out for him? I want to ask you that this evening. First of all, the reason that you're here, but do our hearts still cry out for him? And one of the things I've found, you know, is actually the more I come to know him, I realize the greater dependency on him that I need. It's like having a tall tree. In a sense, the taller you get, the deeper your roots need to be. The deeper your roots need to be. So I want to call us to a place of dependency. I'm almost done. Paul picks up on this, Ephesians 1, 15 to 17. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, speaking to the Ephesians, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So what we can take from this is that actually Ephesians was doing pretty well. They were doing really well. He hasn't stopped giving thanks. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Of all the things that Paul could have prayed in that moment, for a church that's doing well, and it feels like Stellenbosch 6 p.m., if I had one prayer for you this evening, it's like I've seen so many elements of health. I think you, as I said, one of the most beautiful churches. But I pray that you would know him better. I pray that there would be a deepening of understanding of his love for you. There would be a deepening and understanding of the fact that he died for you. That the Father loved you so much and me so much that he sends his one and only Son. Pays the most horrible death on a cross. But on the third day is raised. And if you haven't given your life to the Lord and you haven't responded to that call, I want to give you the opportunity at the end of this meeting. And I want that to sink into you, that actually the heart of the Father is to display something of his love to you. It's to display something of his love to you. And he prays that, and he's, Lord, that they would know you better, that you would know him better. And that word know in Greek, okay, this is for all the scholars here. That word know in Greek is actually epignosis, which comes from, derived from the word diagnosis. And it's to actually come to a recognition or a knowledge of. So maybe a little illustration to help us with this, and I'll end here. Is you've seen the picture of my son. Now, I know that I'm Judah's father. I was there. I spoke to him in his womb, in Stacy's womb. In his womb. I remember his first word. And I was there at his first birthday. But he's still coming to an understanding of who I am as his father. And sometimes it's like that with us. I don't think he'll ever really grasp the love that I have for him. He won't really understand the fact that I have to discipline at times because I love him. And how often is it like that with us? We're still growing in our understanding of him. And that's Paul's prayer, that they would know you better. And I want to leave us with that this evening. And I want to actually, you know, coming in here for church on a Sunday, I almost want to say it's not good enough, and I hope you never settle for it ever again if you have. I hope it comes from a place of, I need to be there. Because actually, I'm one of those stones that the Lord's building together. I'm one of those stones that as we come together, he can live. Maybe we could close our eyes just for a second. I want to ask if you could play that song just now. I'll give you a heads up, but yeah, you can actually play it for us if you've got it. Simone. Our Father, we just want to, we come back to the place where we recognize that we, without you, we've actually got nothing to give, God. And we're so thankful, Father, that you've actually called us to relationship with you. That your desire, as Henry prayed earlier, is that you would be God with us, Emmanuel. And that your desire is actually to spend eternity with us. Won't you just plant that picture in our mind this evening, Lord? Won't you just plant that picture in our mind afresh again? Lord, that we wouldn't be the people about attendance, but that we would come back to a place of dependency on you. Come back to a place of intimacy with you. That we would come to a knowledge of who you really are. And just as you're sitting here this evening, I felt like a father wanted to just remind us of this. I'm going to speak it over you. So before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I remember the day you were born again. I remember your first words when you began to pray to me. And you didn't know how. And I was there teaching you by my spirit. I remember the first time you did things in your own strength and you messed up. And you picked up the broken pieces, but I'm still here. Remember the first time that you said that you loved me. I'll never forget it. And I felt like he wants to remind us this evening. It is I that loved you first. And today the invitation to intimacy with me again. And how I wish you would respond. How I wish you would respond. And if there's something that the Lord's just been ministering to you this evening, I want to give you that opportunity. Maybe there's a sense of you've just been trying to do things in your own strength. Place of dependence, interdependency, and he wants to bring you back to doing it with him. Maybe you've actually come here this evening, you've never given your life to God. And as I explained the gospel just now, that he came from heaven, that he died, and that he rose again. And scripture actually tells us that it's like we're all like sheep that have turned astray. But he's taken the iniquity of us all and he's placed it on his son. That now through his son, you have been brought close by the blood of his son. You've never given your life to the Lord and you want to accept that invitation this morning, to intimacy, this evening, to intimacy with him. I want to ask, wouldn't you just raise your hand? Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And maybe there's an element of like, yeah, you know God. Like you've met him before. You've lived with him. You've been in a relationship with him, but actually you've drifted. Something of your heart. Our hearts are prone to wandering. Maybe there's something of a call to come back to that place of intimacy with him, as in a recommitment to him. Won't you just raise your hand? Love to pray with you. Awesome. Awesome. Beautiful. Beautiful. Sure. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Father God. I wanna ask just you guys to be super brave. For those who actually did raise your hands, I think for us actually as a family, and that's why I asked guys to stay up front here, because I do think there was an element of we want to come around you in this. It's probably the best decision you could ever make. It is the best decision you could ever make. And I'm so thankful to Jesus that he has spoken this evening, and there is a sense of that invitation that's being accepted. I want to ask, if you raised your hands, would you be bold enough to actually just come to the front? I'd love to pray with you. Love to pray with you, and I think there's others that can come around you. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Beautiful. Whether it was recommitment, first-time salvation. Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we give them a round of applause? This is probably the... Thank you, Lord. You can come up and stand, yeah. Come stand here with me. So, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, King Jesus. Yeah. If there were any more and you haven't actually come up, I want to invite you. I'll move everything on the stage if we have to. Maybe someone can come and grab this. Thank you. Awesome. And I wonder, actually, could the rest of us actually just stand with them? I think this is, it is right now, actually. You know, if you maybe know one of these guys, or you've maybe they are here for the first time, that's totally okay. When some of the leaders come out, we can pray for them. Sure. And then I think whilst these guys are praying, I mean, you can pray that prayer with them. I want to ask for the rest of us. I don't want us to disengage. I do think there's a moment where the Lord might be requiring more of us. Maybe we've worked from this place of being independent for most of our lives, and we see the fruit of working from a place of intimacy, but we haven't yet got there. And you're actually just trusting God for more. I want to ask you guys to come to the front too. I'd love to pray with you. There's just a real sense that, you know, I think there's grace in certain moments for things. And if there's somewhat of a desire in you to be rooted deeper in him, I want to ask you, just come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. And I think we want to give time to this. We're going to break bread just now. I'm probably going to hand to Henry for that, if that's okay. I think we've got our work cut out for us. But can we just celebrate this one more time? Thank you guys for coming up even more. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful, Lord. And you know, scripture says this, as you honor
as you honor the Father in front of others, He's honoring you before the Father. And right now, there's actually angels in heaven celebrating with you. And so whilst we celebrate here on earth alongside you, I just want to say, man, this is one of the most incredible decisions you could ever have made. And I want to encourage you with this. Don't let it stop here. This place of intimacy with the Lord is actually will always be surrounded by others. Get to know those who are praying with you. Guys who don't know these guys, connect with them. Let's make every effort to come alongside one another. Is that okay? Awesome. I'm gonna hand over to Henry. Do you want to add anything? Cool. You sure? I think what I want to ask is, we had planned to break bread this evening. I want to actually give a lot more time to this. This is one of the things of following God. It doesn't always look the same. and we'd planned to break bread this evening. I want to say, you know, one of the things that's mentioned in Scripture, that actually if you do have something against your brother or your sister, that go and leave that gift on the altar and go and make right with your brother and your sister before partaking. I want to ask that as we partake, this is another act of worship this evening. As we partake, there's bread at the front there. If you want to partake and you want to share in Jesus' body and His blood, we want to make that open to you. But can I ask this? Don't do it out of the wrong place, okay? I want to ask you, please, guys, take it seriously. Some drink judgment on themselves and actually get sick, and that's one of the things that we don't want. Okay, so I'm making light of it now, but it's a beautiful thing. But I want to ask, if there is offense or there is actually something that you have against your brother, won't we deal with that then and there, and then go and partake? Is that okay? Father God, I want to thank you. I want to honor you, Lord, for the way that you've had your way here this evening. Lord, that we've seen your hand in it, just even from the prayer meeting, through the worship, and just our time with you, God. We are desperate, Lord. We long. We have a hunger and a thirst, Lord, to come to know you in a greater capacity, Lord. And so we celebrate and we rejoice along with heaven this evening, God, for what you have done here this evening, Lord. We thank you for these lives. We thank you for the beauty of a life that's changed, of a life that's being obedient and responding to you. We thank you, God, for just what you're doing in this congregation. We pray that you bless them, that you keep them, that you make your face shine upon them, Lord. Lord Jesus, even as they go into the exam time, Lord, that you would give them supernatural capacity. Lord, that they would be able to retain information like never before, God. There would be a grace upon them to be able to pour their lives out in that area and in this area, God. But Father, that most of all, they would live lives fully out of a place of devotion to you, God. We bless and thank you in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.